Welcome to another Marvel podcast. I'm your host, Drew Gretsch. Today we are talking about all the Marvel news. There's so much, but main part of the show, Hawkeye, Season 1, Episode 4, Partners. Am I right? Secrets are revealed about a key suspect in the mystery, while hard truths emerge about Hawkeye and his past. But as Clint and Kate's partnership finally takes off, their efforts to uncover more of the story result in a stunning and confusing battle against not one, but two opposing forces. We'll talk all about Hawkeye at the end of the show, in case, you know, you guys have not seen episode 4 yet. So, yeah, but we're going to talk about the news first, and there's so much news. There is so much news. So we're going to start with the... Okay, and I'm going to say this off top right now. I'm not going to talk about any news regarding No Way Home this week or next week. And the reason for that is because we know too much about this movie. B, if you're listening to this podcast, you have your tickets. You've already heard the news. And really, there's not that much. It's just more rumors and things. And, like, I don't want to talk about that. Because it's just giving more spoilers now. Like, I've deleted my Twitter just until I see the movie. I've deleted the Twitter app off my phone, off my iPad. I'd be deleting Reddit and YouTube on Monday. Once the world premiere happens, I just don't want to know anything else. I don't want to know anything else about this movie. So, let's start out with some non-MCU news. You ready? Sony came out strong during CCXP, the Brazilian Comic Con, this past weekend. They debuted a new clip for Morbius, a villains panel for No Way Home, which you can find on YouTube. They gave us our first look at Willem Dafoe's face in the movie, which is cool. We finally got to see what he's going to look like, because we had not seen his face before. And also, coming out of there, we got the first look teaser for Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse Part 1. So yeah, we got the first teaser. It looks incredible. You guys know, Into the Spider-Verse is my favorite all-time comic book movie. Not just animated, which there's not much competition there. And the competition that is there for comic book movies that are animated, it's not all that high. No, you got a few good ones, but really there's... Spider-Verse blows them all away. Spider-Verse blows them all away. And I've been saying, you know, it's the perfect movie to set up sequels, but I don't want a sequel for. Because I know there's no possible way that Across the Spider-Verse can be better than the first one. You know, you guys know I'm not the biggest fan of origin stories. I love the origin of Miles Morales. I love that story. It is gut-wrenching. It's powerful. I'd say it's more impactful than the story of Peter Parker. Because Miles, at least in the film, has a part to play in Peter's death. Is he the cause of it? No. Would Peter have died if Miles wasn't there? Most likely, yes. So that's why I think that the story of Miles is better than that of Peter. Now, I said part one. So, Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, the geniuses behind the first film, and also behind the Lego Movie, which I think that the Lego Movie is great. It could have just been a dumb ad, and I mean, it was an ad, but it had a really great story to it, a great story. But what they said was, Miles' story is an epic. We wrote what we thought the story needed to be, and to our surprise, we realized it was two movies instead of one. We are working on them both as we speak. Part two will be out sometime in 2023. We sleep again in 2024. So yeah, Spider-Verse 3, Across the Spider-Verse Part 2, it's coming out in 2023. Now, they say that this is just, I mean, what they're saying right now is, like, they're just working on two movies. I mean, they could have ideas for Across the Spider-Verse Part 3. You know? I think that's really possible. I think that's very possible they could have that. But honestly, I really wonder if maybe the titles here could mean that it's like, I mean, taking the MCU and the Avengers movies into account. Let's say that it's like, I don't want to use Infinity War in Endgame because that's very much part one, part two. Let's just say it's like Age of Ultron and Infinity War. Okay, and just pretend it's Age of Ultron part one and Age of Ultron part two is Infinity War just because they didn't have any other titles. I know that doesn't really make sense, but it's like you had Into Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse. I can't really think of any other word that they could replace Into and Across with for a third movie. So we'll actually see. I mean, I hope it's a two-part movie. I really do. I just hope it tells a complete story, though. I hope that, I think most films, you know, that are broken up into two or multiple parts, you know, Infinity War and Endgame, The Lord of the Rings, the last two Potter movies, the ones that come to mind, is that what they do is you can see why it's part one, part two, and in the case of Lord of the Rings, part three. But you can very much, but each film has, you know, a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's not as exaggerated, you know, as it's not as obvious as, you know, like the big ending. But each movie does have a beginning, a middle, and an end. So, that's really, really what I'm hoping for from Across the Spider-Verse. Miles, I don't know if Miles is going to be in No Way Home. And, you know, the writers and producers of the movie were asked if Miles is in No Way Home. And they said, we've seen No Way Home, so we would be surprised if Miles showed up. But everyone is part of the Spider-Verse. Everyone is part of the Spider-Verse. You know, I never thought that Miles was going to be in this movie. Because it's just, they're doing so well with him in animation. They're not going to put him in live action just yet. Okay? They're not going to do that just yet. Sony does not want to do that. They already teased Miles in Homecoming. You know, and I rewatched that movie the other day. It's still my number one MCU movie. I absolutely love Spider-Man Homecoming. Not as much as I love in the Spider-Verse, but I really love Spider-Man Homecoming. So, what, I just can't see them bring in Miles. I really can't. We have some news about Morbius coming out next month now. We can now say that Morbius is out next month. Jared Leto, when asked about villain crossovers, he says, the multiverse has officially opened. There's all kinds of opportunities for villains to meet up and maybe nurture their more sinister intents. They're doing sinister sex. I don't know when, but they're doing sinister sex. You know that's what, like, this Venom stuff and Morbius is, like, leading to. Well, I think it is. I really don't know if they're gonna have any of the villains in No Way Home be part of the Sinister Six. I really don't. Because I don't think that the Willem Dafoe has come back for more than one movie. You know. And he's the best goblin. So I don't think he's gonna do it. I think Jimmy Fox could do it, but we really don't, because who we have right now is, of course, in the Sony universe, we have Venom, who could be, you know, if Sinister Six is going to be after Venom 3, we could see Venom 3 sort of make more of a pivot, which, by the way, Amy Pascal says they're currently in development on Venom 3. That's awesome. But they said, Well, what I think they could do is, like, Venom maybe goes back to more villainous roots in the third movie, goes a little bit darker. And there's Morbius, there's Kraven, because we'll have Kraven by then. If Mysterio is revealed to still be alive, which I don't think that he is, but I'm really not going to take anything off the table for No Way Home. Like, if I had to put money on it, I'd say he's not going to show up, but I don't want to put money on it. You know, if I have to, I'm going to say he's not in it, but I don't. I wouldn't really do that. Because I don't think there's a single character who's not in this movie. Like, do I think we're going to see Squirrel Girl? No. But I'm not going to take that off the table. So yeah, and then I think, you know, the one who's going to bring all the Sinister Six together, it's going to be Vulture. Because Vulture was a big part of Homecoming. He's in the Morbius trailer. He's filming something right now for Marvel. My guess is Multiverse of Madness. So yeah, we will see. We will see. All right, so we got some news about She-Hulk. Got actually a lot of news about She-Hulk. Tatiana Maslany says She-Hulk's going to be 100% CGI. Okay. Well, let's see it. Got more news about She-Hulk. I gotta go through my notes. But basically, she's gonna be breaking the fourth wall a whole lot. Apparently, one scene, she's gonna be talking directly with Kevin Feige. I think that'd be super fun. If we see Jennifer Walters doing that. And then, last piece of news is she's gonna have some musical numbers in the show for She-Hulk. So, yeah. That's going to be fun. It's going to be very fun. Here's the news, guys. I'm so excited about Because if you know me at all, you know one of my favorite shows of all time is the Netflix series known as Marvel's Daredevil, starring Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock in Daredevil. And Kevin Feige did an interview this weekend with CinemaBlend. In the interview, I'm just going to pull up the audio. So let's see if I can. All right, here's the actual video. So here we go. I'm going to play this right now.
If you were to see Daredevil in upcoming things, Charlie Cox, yes, would be the actor playing Daredevil. Where we see that, how we see that, when we see that, remains to be seen.
He's coming back. He's coming back. I am so excited for this. I am so excited for this. Like, we've known he's been in the movie for over a year now. Or almost a year, I think. I think it was, like, January. I think it was, like, the same day that WandaVision came out. Was when we heard the news that that Charlie Cox was actually on set. You know? So, this is just so exciting to me. What I've heard, and I know that a lot of people have heard this, but what I've heard is that he has a really small cameo in No Way Home. It's like one or two scenes at the most. And we get only the slightest little hint of something more. Like, truly the slightest hint. I know what the scene is. I'm not going to say it. I'm not going to say it, but I've been told what that scene is. If you want to know, for some reason, you can look it up. I know what two scenes in No Way Home are, and I'm never going to say what they are until you guys have seen the movie. On the podcast, when we do No Way Home, in 8 days, when we do our instant take, I will say the two scenes that I know, and we'll see if they're accurate. We will see if they're accurate, but I mean, I told you, one of them involves Daredevil. So, it's only the briefest little hint in No Way Home that there's something that he could be involved with in Daredevil, that he could be a hero. And then this is just pure fan speculation here. Well, actually, I've heard about his other projects, but I'm just guessing about how he'll be used in them. She-Hulk, Jennifer Walters is a lawyer in New York City. Of course he's in the show. Especially if he's being introduced next week in No Way Home. And that's where, and now we're going in my own theories, that's where we're going to see the, maybe we'll start to see him, like, do some fighting and things. Like, maybe it's, like, Matt and Jen are sort of adversaries at the beginning, and then maybe they're friends at the end. Because, like, oh, wait, we're both superheroes. That I love that. I love that. Like, maybe the scene with her talking to Kevin Feige is like, really, Feige? You had to bring this guy back from Netflix? That would be the greatest line ever. That would be the greatest line ever. And then we're going to see him in the Echo series. Because, of course, you know, Echo, who we met on Hawkeye last week, is already confirmed for her own spinoff on Disney Plus. And what I've heard, and we talked about this on the podcast, is not only will he be a part of that series, but that series will have people such, and if this is truly Vincent D'Onofrio's Kingpin in Hawkeye, I think we're definitely going to see him in the Echo series. I think we're definitely going to see, maybe in Hawkeye. And this is tease more in S.H.I.E.L.D. because that's also in New York. Maybe it's like Kingpin comes back and Matt finds out and he's like, oh, I got to deal with this guy again. Because, like, I'm not sure how they're going to deal with the canonicity of the series. You know? I don't think it will be contradicted. I don't think it'll be contradicted. Will they go out of their way to reference the Netflix show? I don't think that's going to happen. But I don't think they're going to ever contradict the Netflix show. So I think it's safe to assume, again, if this is Kingpin, if Matt Murdock is in No Way Home, I think it's safe to assume that, yes, the Netflix series is canon. But does that mean all the Defender shows are canon? Because they're very interconnected. I'm going to say no. Because, A, none of the other Defenders appear in the Daredevil series. We don't see Kristen Ritter as Jessica Jones. We don't see Mike Coulter as Luke Cage. We don't see Finn Jones as Iron Fist. Okay? They're mentioned, but that can just be easily retconned. That could just be someone that Matt knows in New York. The opening scene of season 3 of Daredevil. Spoilers for season 3 Daredevil and the Defenders miniseries. When Matt Murdock quote-unquote dies in that show. Which really comes back. It's like, that can be explained in some other thing. That can be retconned to keep the 3 seasons show canon. But yeah. If I had put money on it, I don't think it will be officially canon. I don't think it's going to be contradicted, though. I think Feige's going to take what he wants and leave what he doesn't, as he's always done. But anyway, like, so back to Echo. It could be, you know, we see Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock, we see Vincent D'Onofrio as Kingpin, we see Deborah Ann Woll as Karen Page, we see Eldon Henson as Foggy Nelson. You know, and then what I've heard is that sets up a Daredevil solo project. Whether that is a movie, or a soft reboot series, or a season 4. I don't think it's a movie. I don't think you can do Daredevil as a movie, especially after how successful he would have been on TV. I just don't. Especially after the show, I don't think you can do that. Also, I don't want them to do a movie. I think that the format of the character and what the character is and represents works so much better on television. It works so much better than in a movie. Because the show was gritty. It was gritty. And if you do it in a movie, there is the expectation that it must be huge CGI spectacle. That's my biggest problem with Black Widow. Is that, like, the first 2/3 of that movie I think are really, really good. Especially, like, the second act of Black Widow. I think that's great. I think that's incredible. I love the second act of Black Widow. The third act, when they do the whole Flying Fortress thing again, I don't think that fits the character. Because there is an expectation that there has to be a big CGI final fight. I don't think that's necessary. It's not necessary for the character. So that means it's going to be either season 4 or a soft reboot series. I think that they'll do the soft reboot series because I don't think they want to market a show as season 4, even from the standpoint of it being on Disney Plus. I don't think they want to market it as season 4 because that's like, oh, season 4, where can I watch the first three seasons? Oh, on Netflix. All right, I'll subscribe to Netflix and drop Disney Plus for a month. I don't know, but there are going to be people that would do that. People would do that. So I think it's smart that they would have just a soft reboot. Maybe the Defender shows are variant timelines. So, yeah. We'll see what happens with Daredevil. And I really want to see other characters return. I love if, like, Kristen Ritter had a cameo in She-Hulk. That'd be great. Because I missed the Defenders. I miss them. I want to see them all come back. I really do. So, just looking through some of the other news. It's all about Spider-Man No Way Home. I don't want to talk about No Way Home, guys. I don't want to talk about No Way Home because we're so close. We're so close to the movie. I don't... This is actually interesting about No Way Home. This is actually pretty interesting. So Tom Holland says that the opening shot, Spider-Man No Way Home, is the final shot of Far From Home. It starts with the same freeze frame. That's cool. That's pretty cool, except I hope there's a pretty big time jump. I hope there's a significant time jump. Well, maybe not significant. I hope that they jump to, like, December or something. I hope that they jump to December because it's just, like, there'd be so much going on at that time that we gotta figure out. Like, I'm just trying to figure out where Falcon and Winter Soldier, Shang-Chi, Eternals, and Far From Home all fit right now. You know? That's the big thing. That is the big thing. Because it's like, when does Endgame take place? I know that, I believe it's, you know, it's Shang-Chi and then, it's got the Falcon Winter Soldier and then Shang-Chi and then Far From Home and then, Eternals. So, yeah. But anyway, I hope there's a time jump. I hope there's a time jump. So yeah. I want to talk about everything is about No Way Home. So let's talk about this. You know what? There is another big thing I almost didn't mention. So Destin Daniel Cretton, who directed Shang-Chi and Legend of the Ten Rings, says, so he has signed a deal, and this is from Deadline. He signed a deal with Marvel Studios and Hulu's Onyx Collective. He's set to direct a Disney Plus MCU series as well as Shang-Chi 2. So, yeah. This is exciting. This is really exciting to me. Like, he's gonna be, like, working on the spinoff also. Of course he's doing the second one. Of course he's directing the second movie. But, like, I really love that he's also, like, very involved in the spinoff. because we've heard about, like looking at some of the other more spin-off things that they've done. They have that Wakanda series in development. All right, that's going to be done by Ryan Coogler, who at that point will have already directed the first two Black Panther movies. And again, I think it's going to be the only trade. I don't think there's going to be a third Black Panther. So, there's that. You know, Jack Schaefer is doing Agatha House of Harkness. And on the flip side, you know, of a spinoff series going to films. The writer for Falcon Winter Soldier is doing Captain America 4. Who was that? Who wrote the show? I forgot. Malcolm Spellman is writing and producing Captain America 4. So, I love they have these, they have the creator of that, you know, sort of specific franchise doing spin-off projects. I think it's great. I think it's going to make a really great consistency. We've also heard that it's a comedy series. We're hearing it's a comedy series. So, we'll see what happens there. I don't, you know, I'm not all that excited for She-Hulk right now because it's a comedy series. Now, WandaVision was a great job with that, but we also knew going into WandaVision there was a really, like, strong, like, dramatic heart to that show going into it. We'll see, I guess. I have faith in Cretton. So we'll see what he does with it. I've heard Ten Rings. That's just what I've heard. We'll see if that's true. I really think that is, according to Daniel RPK on his Patreon, it's pretty reliable, Corey Stahl will be playing MODOK in Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania. Now, Corey Stahl played Darren Cross, the Yellow Jacket, in the first Ant-Man. So it's cool that he's coming back. It's cool that he's coming back. So yeah, he's going to get to play MODOK, I guess. We'll see if... we'll see if that's true. Well, we'll see if that's true. I don't know. So... yeah. Got No Way Home next week, guys. There's a lot of news come out for that. But right now, we're going to go into the Hawkeye discussion. What I'm super excited for. I'm super excited to talk about Hawkeye. So... this show, for me, has consistently gotten better. Full spoilers ahead for Hawkeye, the whole series so far, the first four episodes. So, you know, you guys know, I really did not like the first one. I really did not like the first episode of the series. Two was okay. I liked three, and I like four even more than I like the first episode. I think that And so here's the thing that I sent out to my friends today, just because I watched these early. So, and I'm not tweeting these out, because again, I've deleted my Twitter until I see No Way Home next week. But what I said was, Hawkeye has finally hit its stride in the fourth episode of the six-part event. The relationship between Clint and Kate is developed even more while a mystery thickens and spoiler returns. Of course, the spoiler that we know, in case you guys have not seen the episode yet, the spoiler that returns, Yelena Belova, and guess what? She's a poser now. She did a pose. So, yeah, that was really great. I loved seeing Yelena. I thought, and this is, you know, sort of the same problem I had with Hawkeye, but I think it worked a lot better in Black Widow, because Natasha was still, like, the main character, but Yelena was a close second. But it felt like a Yelena Belova movie. It felt like it set her up, and it did. It did. So, yeah, I, you guys know, I'm a really big fan of Black Widow. I am a really big fan of that movie. I think it's really underrated. I think Black Widow is great. I think it's a great movie. So I'm really happy, like, we're already seeing sort of these connections. And I think, honestly, we're already seeing the possibilities of Marvel on Disney Plus, of just seeing characters start in movies. They show up in TV. They'll go back into movies. You know? So, I just really loved seeing her. It felt a little bit anticlimactic to me. I would have loved to have seen, maybe we don't see her face. You know, like, if they didn't announce that, like, she was in the series, like, we could have spent the first three episodes also, like, having this character who we don't know. We don't know who this character is. Because she has the helmet on. She has the mask thing on. And then we see her investigate and try to get to Clint Barton. And I'll say this, guys. I'll say this. If that's the story in next week's episode, and if that's the only thing it is, I'm going to be really upset. Because if that's the case, then this should have been an episode ago. Two episodes ago. Because I still don't feel like this show's really gotten started, and we are 66% of the way done. Execute order 66. We're going into the third act now, and I'm still waiting for this show to really start. Feige said, you know, this story was originally going to be a movie, and we were like, you know what, it works better on Disney Plus. I completely disagree. Because we're now 3.5 hours in, 3 hours, about 3 hours in. Because the episodes are a bit shorter. We're 3 hours in now. And I'm waiting for it to start. We're waiting for the show to start. Just hasn't. It just hasn't yet. And it's only 6 episodes. Like, I think it would have been better if it was 8 episodes. you know, or at least 7. Because then I would be fine with having that Yelena episode. I'd have been fine with that. But we're this far in, and it just hasn't... I'm still not entirely sure what the show's about. I'm sure that once we've seen the whole show, it's going to become clear. But right now, I don't feel like there's a main story. There's no main story. So, yeah, we'll see. I guess we will see in the next 2 weeks with how they end the series. Well, now to talk about my last negative. Is the intelligence level of Kate Bishop. Kate is not a very smart person. It is incredibly obvious she got into college based on her social status and based on how well she can shoot a bow and arrow. Because we've seen consistently that she's not all that smart. Consistently. She talked to that guy in the elevator, and that was pretty funny, but it just... it didn't really make sense, and I'm not entirely sure on what the purpose of that was. Like, I don't know why that scene is a part of the series. And then... there's also, in this episode, oh my god, she's from her family runs a security company. Family-owned security business, Bishop's Security, right? She doesn't know about motion sensors. She doesn't know about motion sensors. She's just not that smart. Okay, and I'm sorry to say that, you guys. I was really excited to see her in this series. I really was. She's just not that bright. We'll see how her journey progresses through the MCU. I mean, the thing I always come back to is look at the character of Thor. Thor is so boring in his first few movies. I'm sorry, he's boring. The first two Thor movies, the first two Avenger movies, he's just kind of boring. He's just there to be hot, and Hemsworth does it so incredibly well. But he's boring. And Taika comes in. And he's like, alright, so what we're going to do is we're going to have Thor lose everything that's important to him. And still be the most funny movie in the MCU. And the rooster's like, I love that idea. We're going to take it one step further. We're going to have him lose in Infinity War. We are going to have him lose everything else that he has left, which isn't much. He's going to lose everything else. He's going to lose his brother. And they finally became family in Ragnarok, I feel. And then he's going to go for the head and he's going to miss. Or he's not going to go for that. And Endgame is just, we see the guilt that he has and it all comes crashing down. So, character development in the MCU has always been there. It's always been there. So, can Kate Bishop become a great character? Absolutely. Absolutely she can become a great character. I don't think that she's there yet. I don't think she'll be there for a while, but, you know, we'll see what happens with that character moving forward. Let's go and get on to what I liked. I think the best scene in this whole show so far was the scene where... Well, actually, first, this, I don't know if I talked about this on the podcast last week, but it just like conversations, I'm like, all right, guys, I think that this week's episode, episode 4, is going to be Yelena's introduction. Episode 5 is going to be Kingpin's introduction at the very end. And then episode 6 is where it's all going to come to a head right there. And then, but aside from that, everything in this episode points to Yelena. Because, I mean, first off, when Eleanor Bishop mentions Natasha to Clint. I'm like, all right, so they're laying some groundwork. I mean, Natasha's mentioned here. That does set the stage for Yelena's appearance. And then the more that Natasha is mentioned in the episode, and we actually see that scene from Endgame, it's like, oh, no, you know, this week is Yelena. We're going to see Yelena by the end of this episode. And then from there to, I mean, even continuing the scene, the scene where Kate falls off the roof and Clint catches her with the grappling arrow, and it's almost a perfect mirror of the Vormir scene from Endgame. And what really surprised me is that I thought Clint was gonna pull her up because he saw the connection. He's like, no, I'm not doing that again. But he cuts her loose. And the music that was played, the score, was the Vormir theme. It was the same track that was played in Infinity War when Thanos threw Gamora. And it's the same scene in Endgame where Natasha jumps. That was my favorite scene of this whole show. Because it was beautiful. It was beautifully shot. Beautifully acted, was beautifully scored. That was a great scene. That was a great, great scene. So moving on to theories now. I have no idea who owns the Rolex. I have no idea who owns that. My only theory really is Kingpin. I just don't think this is a show where we're meant to theorize as much. Sorry about that, guys. Just readjusted in my chair. I got to stretch after a workout. Ow, pull a muscle just moving into my chair. That's why you gotta stretch. So anyway, I really loved the scene in the episode. Oh, actually, first, I speak a little bit of German, so just hearing Laura is like talking German. It's like, oh, wait, I know some of those words. And it was like, I don't remember what she said anymore, but yeah, I love that little thing there. And it was not Russian. That was German. Das ist Deutsch. That was German. So, yeah. I think... So, what I really love... The scenes I really loved in the episode were the scenes in the apartment. Where it was just Kate and Clint bonding. Where Kate was like, you're missing the movie marathon here. We're going to watch the movies, you know. And I was looking for my favorite Christmas movie, Elf. That's what I was looking for. I didn't see it. But, yeah. The scene where he was, like, teaching her how to throw the quarter, I loved that. I loved that whole scene. I thought that was great. I thought it was so much fun. It reminded me a lot of the scene from the first Ant-Man movie. Where it's... You know, where Scott's trying to jump through the keyhole. That's what it reminded me of. So, yeah, loved that a whole lot. The scene with the LARPers in the apartment, I thought was super fun. I'm going to say it again, and again, this is not something I want to bring up on the podcast a whole lot, because I think there's a lot more to the MCU and myself than that, but just always seeing same-sex couples in the MCU, I love it a whole lot. You know, both times I saw Eternals in the theater, I cry with the Fastos scenes. I think Fastos is a great character. But love that. Just another little mention. And the woman was like, my wife made this for me. I love that a lot. Love that a whole lot. I don't think I have anything else. I think it's Kingpin. I really believe it's Kingpin. If it's not Kingpin, no, I'm not going to be upset. I'm not going to be upset because what WandaVision taught us is that do not let speculation become expectation. Do not let that happen. Because the moment that happens, you are setting yourself up for failure. This is the last podcast I'm going to record where none of us have seen No Way Home. Because you guys who are listeners in the UK, by the time I record the podcast for Hawkeye Episode 5, you lucky bastards, some of you will have already seen the movie. So I'm going to say is this, guys. If Toby and Andrew are in this movie, awesome. I think they are. If they're not in the movie, like what Toby and Andrew have been telling us for over a year now, what Tom's been telling us. If they're not in the movie, you cannot be upset. You cannot negatively... You cannot have negative opinions on this movie due to something you wanted to have happen. Because that's the reality. Now, I think they're in the movie. If I had to put money on it, they're in the movie. So, yeah, there's no question about it for me. There's no question about it for me. But guys, I'm telling you. Critics only saw 40 minutes of the movie. That never happens. That didn't happen with The Force Awakens. That didn't happen for Infinity War. That didn't happen for Endgame. Those are the three biggest movies domestically of all time. This is The Force Awakens, Infinity War, Endgame. And I love all three of those movies. I think they're all fantastic. The critics all saw the whole movie. Critics and interviewers, so they can properly ask questions and be informed. No Way Home, they just saw 40 minutes, guys. And here's your thing. They didn't even necessarily see the first 40 minutes. They could have seen 40 minutes from the middle of the movie. They could have seen a 40-minute trailer. Do I think that that happened? No, I think it's probably saw the first 40 minutes. But even from there, stuff could have been cut out. Like, they could have cut out a Matt Murdock scene, you know? What I really think is, like, there are going to be things in this movie that we see next week that we never would have imagined. We never would have imagined it even possible for some of this stuff to be on screen. And I think that's the truth. Okay? Because they only saw 40 minutes. The movie's 2.5 hours long. That's 1 hour and 50 minutes that critics did not see. Okay? So I'm going to just leave you guys on that note. All right? We'll be back next week. Next week with Hawkeye Episode 5. As well as final predictions for Spider-Man No Way Home. So yeah, thank you guys just so, so much for listening each and every week. It means so, so much. Yeah, guys, thank you so much for listening again. I'm trying to think of a line from the episode. Oh yeah, we're not partners.